You're listening to Shared Security, a podcast that explores the bonds shared between people and technology. Hosted by Tom Esten, Scott Wright, and Kevin Johnson. Welcome to episode 297. Wow, we're almost at 300, Scott.
Yes, sir.
It's crazy. Of the Shared Security Podcast. And joining me this week is, as I just mentioned, the one and only co-host, Scott Wright.
The one and only.
I preempted your intro.
Yeah, well, that's all good. No, it's good to be back. And we're missing Kevin today.
We are missing Kevin today. So Kevin is out at GERCON this week. He was also at InfoSec World prior to that. And I don't know if you knew this, Scott, but I actually saw Kevin a few weeks ago.
No, I didn't. I think you guys were talking about maybe meeting up at some point. Yeah.
He came to Cleveland for some business. And so we met up for dinner, which was great.
Nice.
So I will be photoshopping your picture into that picture.
That's awesome. I love it. Yeah. You didn't do a reminder episode of Security Justice while he was there?
Kevin was never on Security Justice. That's true. Yeah, but yeah. I could.
You could. Yeah, yeah.
That'd be fun. So if you're on the YouTube or you're watching us on YouTube, I will throw up a picture of Kevin and I. So
with me sort of going.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. One day, Scott, we will all get together.
It's true. Well, it's getting more and more. I mean, I met Kevin in the spring for the first time after like 11 years.
This is true.
Still haven't met you in person. So yeah. It's a crazy world.
Anyway. It is. But we have some great stories this week. And the first, I love this story because there is a lot of talk going on about spyware in the corporate world, right? So there's corporations ever since the pandemic, really. I mean, we talked about this when the pandemic was going on, that companies are looking for ways to monitor their employees.
Yeah.
And so you know, corporate spyware, that's been a thing for pretty much forever, but it has been increasing. But now we're starting to see spyware that's been using AI with webcams, with cameras in an office, recording everything from your voice to the things you're typing, all of these things. And AI is basically figuring out what you do in your job,
right?
And looking for ways to automate you. Maybe
no, we're just
out
optimizing. We're just optimizing.
That's the corporate word, right? We are optimizing work performance using AI. So what do you think, Scott? This is kind of taking things to the next level. Do you think that people should worry about AI replacing their jobs?
I think some people might. There's a book I read a few years ago called Rise of the Robots. And it's basically a story about how, well, I mean, it's nonfiction. It's documented sort of cases and stories and scenarios where people's jobs are going to be replaced if they're not already. You know, it talked about fast food and, you know, how the kiosks at McDonald's are starting to take over, right? And even writing articles, you know, things that you sort of always figure are going to be around for a long time that it takes humans to do. And this is, it's not a shock, but it is kind of surprising. It's all of a sudden, you know, since ChatGPT, you know, came out at Christmas time, you know, it was like, there's so much that seems to be advancing so quickly. And it makes sense that, you know, it's just like the actors strike, right? That's on, right? Where they're complaining that the producers are using them for one scene and then doing the rest of the show or series of shows with AI generated people. So yeah, I could see it. It will likely be a challenge for people's jobs. Not sure what kind of unionization power might come to bear, but it's something I think that people are going to have to start worrying about. Maybe not in every field right away, but pretty soon, you know, if this happens everywhere, though, we kind of turn it around into you know, we all get an allowance instead of earning our money, and we just sort of all become poets and philosophers.
Yeah. Isn't that like the socialist dream or something like that, right? Yeah. Where like the government just pays you. It's kind of like my kids' generation of like, I just want to sit around and get paid by the government. And well, now that AI is here, right?
Yeah.
It's just going to automate my job. But, you know, I look at this as I think there are going to be some jobs that are going to be automated, right? The, you know, repetitive tasks, especially like thinking about like financial type of things of like, if you're manipulating data, like in a spreadsheet all day,
if it's deterministic, meaning like that everything has a defined way of doing it,
right?
It's going to be really easy for AI to take over.
Absolutely. But the things I don't see is like leadership positions. You know, I don't think AI is going to necessarily replace like your manager, right? Or someone that actually has to interact with you and, or someone in a company that is setting strategy.
Yep.
I mean, it's true. I mean, ChatGPT can give you like, hey, tell me my company strategy based on these certain prompts, but it's not quite what a like a VP level or a CEO, right, of a company is
going to be able to do. I mean, it's not a big topic yet, but I can see accountability is going to become a topic. And not so much from an insurance point of view. Clearly, that debate's already happening with automated cars and who's responsible if people get killed. But when a business makes a decision and investors lose money and the decision was done by AI, who's accountable, right? I mean, somebody has to be. So I think accountability is going to be a really interesting topic of from a security and governance point of view, I think.
I agree. And the other reason I bring this up too is obviously the privacy concerns of we've said for years, right? If you have a corporate laptop, right, there is no expectation of privacy on that corporate laptop. But now employers are installing these spyware and other things that literally are like keyloggers in a lot of cases.
It's not spyware, it's a monitoring agent.
So, you know, my thing to tell people is like, you know, if you work for a company or you just started a job, you know, they should be disclosing at least in their information security policy that they are monitoring you. And I would maybe ask questions of like, what do you mean by monitoring me?
It's not that hard for them to say, no. You know, it's our right to monitor you at any time, you know, and that may be all they need to say, but you're right. You got to ask questions about what that really implies.
But I mean, if you're very privacy conscious, I would say, you know, I would not work at a company that has invasive corporate spyware in the name of productivity. I just, I don't recommend people doing that.
Or you just learn to live with it and say, I'm only going to use this computer for my work hours in this location. And I don't really care if they monitor me. So,
Well, that's the general rule I tell people is like, don't do anything personal on a work computer. Use your personal phone or your personal laptop. Keep everything completely separate.
Yes. Yeah.
So, as the great band, The Offspring said, you got to keep them separated.
The great band of The Offspring. Yep.
That's right.
I got no self-esteem either.
So. Yeah, I'm dating myself, but with that, why don't we jump into our favorite segment, Scott, which is Aware Much?
Yes, Tom, it's not quite as much fun to announce this segment.
I don't have anybody laughing in the background.
Kevin's not here to giggle, but we will persist. So in this installment of Aware Much, we're reminding people about a new variation of an old scam. It's interesting because it targets aspiring artistic content producers on Instagram. So it sounds like a very narrow focused thing, and you probably should be able to identify these people and warn them. But people who post beautiful images on Instagram are being approached by inquiring, producers of content, you know, for very flattering offers. So essentially, you know, you got great images. We would like to paint a mural of something based on your image. Can we buy the rights to it, right? On behalf of a client, right? There's always a third party in there. And it's going to be on a short timeline. We'll pay you really quickly. So it sounds like a really good deal. And for people that, you know, haven't really heard about this before, it could be very convincing. So they offer a good sum of money, like in the thousands of dollars, tell the content creator that they're going to send them more than the agreed amount because they'll need to make a payment to somebody else for supplies, right? Something like that. And so it seems a little convoluted and should be a little bit of a tip off when they're sending you more money than you asked for and expecting you to deposit that in the bank and then make a payment to somebody else. sometimes it actually will look like it's cleared in the bank. You'll see the money in the bank, but the bank actually follows up and it was a fake transaction or fake check.
Yep.
It will get reversed and then you're left not having that money. And if you follow the crook's instructions, you will have sent real money to somebody else, and that's how they make it. So it's a dangerous scam, but I've seen it in a lot of different areas, especially on classified ads. You know, I've heard of the one where, you know, somebody had a car for sale and they get an inquiry from somebody who's working on an oil rig in the in the Caribbean or someplace, right? And it turns out, you know, they can only communicate by email and they can only do payments by PayPal, and they're going to send you more money so that you can pay the shipper. You know, it's just a different variation on the same thing. You're always getting more money, apparently, than what you asked for, and end up paying real money after or before the thing collapses. So it's just one thing we want to remind people. It's common for these things to happen, and just be aware of anything that seems like it's too good to be true.
Yeah, it's so common. In fact, the reason I found out about this scam is my son actually sent me a text message. He's down at college and said, "Hey, I got this weird message from, you know, some guy that said he wants to use my high school graduation photos on my Instagram page and paint and use it for a painting."
Yeah.
And it followed this exact same scam. You know, my son's like, "Wow, $2,000 for one of my photos. That sounds pretty good." But of course, I am proud to say that my kid sent me a text message to ask me, is like, "This sounds a little too good to be true."
Yeah.
And I said, "Yep, this is a scam. Block and report. Don't
tell your friends."
Yeah. Tell your friends, yeah. Like, you know, don't engage with this person anymore. This is a very common thing. And in fact, you know, they are targeting especially high school kids or college kids that, you know, post pictures of them in school. And it's a great kind of talking point of, "Hey, your picture's really great. Can I use this for my art?" Yeah. And it gets that
should be a trigger. Yeah, exactly. Awesome. So this installment of Aware Much was brought to you by ClickArmor, the effective and easy way to get employees trained on phishing, social engineering, and security awareness topics. We have a social engineering module that helps employees spot commonly successful attacks, like the one we just talked about. So you can go to clickarmor.ca and learn all about the cool kinds of training that we can provide that is really unlike anything you've seen before. And also, don't forget to join us every other Wednesday for the Cybersecurity Awareness Forum. It's a live panel discussion, an hour long, lots of great topics and discussions with a really active group of security professionals who are passionate about security awareness. Actually, we had 40 some people on the last few times. So it's a really good community. So come and join us. And you can sign up for the next one at clickarmor.ca/CSAF for Cybersecurity Awareness Forum. And that's it for this installment of Aware Much.
So, Scott, did you know that Kia and Hyundai's are some of the most stolen cars in the United States?
No, I didn't know that. I thought that, I thought there were some European or Japanese ones that were more popular, but I guess
it used to be like Toyotas,
yeah,
like for a long time, or Hondas. I think Honda Civic was up there.
Yeah.
Did you also know that the reason that these Kias and Hyundais are being stolen is because something called the Kia Challenge that went viral on TikTok?
What?
Of all things.
Okay. Yeah.
So if you didn't know this, there is a vulnerability in a certain Kias made from 2011 to 2022, like recently. In fact, there are over 3.8 million Hyundai autos and 4.5 million Kia vehicles that all share this vulnerability. So they were not built or equipped with something called a engine immobilizer. So, you know, if you tear apart the dash piece that's behind the steering wheel, mm-hmm. Even if you try to hotwire the car, it's not going to start. So they did this in a way to save costs in their manufacturing. What I found interesting, though, is Canada actually requires engine immobilizers on new cars.
Okay.
So this is a problem specific to the US. But these vehicles are so easy to steal that literally all you do is rip off the steering column, remove the ignition cylinder, turn this little rectangular nub behind the start engine. And to turn that nub, a actual USB plug actually fits perfectly into that. And you turn it, and with a screwdriver basically, and a charging cord, and the car starts.
Interesting. Wow.
So there's videos on TikTok basically challenging people to steal Kias and Hyundais that went viral. And in fact, it has gotten so bad that even in my city, the city of Cleveland, where I live, there's been over 1,200 theft reports of these vehicles. This is literally just in October and December of last year.
Wow.
So thousands of vehicles are being stolen all across the country because of a TikTok viral challenge and some pretty crappy car security.
It's also saying one of the articles that you pulled up says that it's getting harder to insure those models.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. So we'll have linked in the show notes a really fascinating article from the insurance industry about how some insurance companies are just not insuring newer Hyundais and Kias because of this vulnerability. Now, I will say that that Hyundai has rolled out a free software update that now requires the key to be in the ignition for the car to turn on, and it lengthens the time of the car alarm going off from 30 seconds to a minute. And then it gives you a nice little sticker to put on your window to let thieves know that, well, you're wasting your time because it's been updated.
Patched.
It's been patched, right? And they're actually giving people money to buy like those club devices that lock the steering wheel. Yeah. Have you seen those?
Yep.
I mean, what a nightmare. Honestly, like, I would seriously question buying a Kia or Hyundai after a mess like this.
Yeah. I mean, if you really, really loved it, you know, you really had to have a Kia and you couldn't get insurance, I'd just go in and buy one of those wheel boots and keep it in the trunk. And then, you know, if I put it in the driveway, just put the clamp on it so it couldn't be moved.
But, yeah. But this is a major problem, and all because these companies wanted to save a buck.
Yeah.
Is really discouraging.
Yeah. The car, I mean, there's a whole other story we might cover around the privacy issues that were found by Mozilla. I don't know if you saw that story, Tom, but,
Yes,
we should do that one. Cause
I think we'll do that next week.
Yeah. Let's just dump on the car manufacturers for a while. And
well, that story is about how this really good research from Mozilla has shed light on how bad the car manufacturers are with privacy and data privacy in particular. It's very shocking. And so we'll have more on that probably next week. But just to kind of finish this story off, I found this statistic fascinating. So if you don't count Kias and Hyundais, 96% of new cars in the US in model year 2015, this is old, right?
Old, yeah.
They had immobilizers, but only 26% of Kias and Hyundais did. So it's fascinating. Fascinating research. So
cool.
So anyway, so now if you're thinking about buying a car, now you have information on which car manufacturers you may not want to buy from.
If you're security conscious, yes.
All thanks to this podcast. So.
Yeah.
All right, Scott. Well, I think that's
only at the cost of the Patreon. You're not going to talk about our Patreon.
Actually, I can. Yes.
You should.
Yeah.
Yes.
You can become a supporter of the Shared Security Podcast. We would love to have you as a official Patreon where you can get ad-free episodes. You can now get bonus episodes. That's something that I'm going to start doing for our supporters as well. You can access our Discord server where you can chat with Kevin. I know. Chatting with Kevin. Imagine that. Yeah, or myself or Scott.
Yeah.
And a bunch of other great benefits. So that support actually helps support the show, supports all the content that you get every week. And we really appreciate it. So check for the link in the show notes, or you can go to sharedsecurity.net/supporter for more of those details.
And should we put a plug in for Kevin and OWASP or something? You know, isn't he doing this?
So if you are an OWASP member, You have until the end of this month. Actually, it may be too late by the time this podcast comes out, because that will be
Monday.
Next week
will be
is October. I regret to inform you that it's probably too late. Too late.
And thank you if you did.
But thank you if you voted for Kevin for the board. He appreciates that. So, all right, Scott. Well, with that, I think I'll let you go. But thanks, everyone, for listening. And we will see you again next week.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks for watching or listening to this episode. Please subscribe wherever you like to listen to podcasts and visit us at sharedsecurity.net or on X, formerly known as Twitter, at SharedSec. If you'd like to help support the podcast and get early access to new episodes with no ads, plus many more exclusive benefits, become an official supporter of the podcast for only $5 a month. Visit sharedsecurity.net/supporter for more details.